The kingdom lasted 120 years. 40 years under King Saul, 40 years under King David, and 40 years under King Solomon. After Solomon's death, the kingdom became divided. 10 tribes formed the northern kingdom and took the name of Israel. And then the two remaining tribes, Judah and Benjamin, formed the southern kingdoms and called themselves Judah. The northern kingdoms lasted a little over 200 years. It was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722 BC. The 10 tribes were deported and they disappeared from history, wrote a contributor to the Haley's Bible Handbook in a clip titled The Division of the Kingdoms on page 240. Of course, the United Church of God in our booklet, The United States in Britain in Prophecy, confirms this story that they disappeared from history. It also goes into detail as to where those 10 tribes went. The southern kingdoms lasted a little over 300 years. It was destroyed by the Babylonians shortly after or about 586 BC. And so what happened? What happened? We're going to take a look at part of the sermon, the life of Jeroboam. The life of Jeroboam. We're going to begin in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 28. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 28. The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph. And now it happened at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, met him on the way and he was clothed in a new garment. And the two of them were alone in the field. And then Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him and he tore it into 12 pieces. Verse 31, and he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hands of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. And so we see God's hand was in all of this from the very beginning, because he told Solomon there in 1 Kings 11, verses 11 and 12, that he was going to rend the kingdoms from King Solomon. Because of King Solomon's sins. Verse 32 of 1 Kings 11. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David. And for the sake of Jerusalem. The city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. So God really loved. And still loves to this day. The city of Jerusalem. Let's pick up the story in verse 35. 1 Kings 11 and verse 35. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hands and I'm going to give them to you. Talking to Jeroboam. 10 tribes. And to his sons I will give one tribe. Talking about the son of Solomon. That my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem. The city which I have chosen for myself. God is speaking here. To put my name there. And so I will take you and you shall reign over all your heart's desires and you shall be king over Israel. And here we see what God expected of Jeroboam here in verse 38. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, number one, walk in my ways, number two, do what is right in my sight, number three, and to keep my statutes and my commandments as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and will give you and will give Israel to you. Verse 39, and I will afflict the descendants of David because of this, but not forever. And so we see here that God only wanted to bless Jeroboam. And he wanted to give him an enduring house. Let's go over to chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12 and verse 1. And Rehoboam, now this is the son of Solomon, went to Shechem, for all of Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, he was in Egypt. And so why did he go to Egypt? It says here, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. So you wonder if he went around bragging about being king over the 10 tribes. And you wonder if he had to flee for his life because he was in Egypt, because he fled from the presence of King Solomon, it says here. Verse 3, that they sent and called him, and then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam. Your fathers made our yokes heavy, they said. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome services of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. So if you lighten our burden, make our yokes easy, then we are going to serve you, talking about Rehoboam. And so he told them there in verse 5, depart for 3 days and then come back. And so the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father while he was still alive. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him saying, well, if you be a servant to these people, and if you serve them and you answer them and you speak good words to them, then they will serve you. Talking about all 12 of the tribes. Verse 8, but he rejected the advice that the elders had given him. And so then he consulted the young men who grew up with him. You know the type. They may have had long hair and tattoos and maybe didn't work and maybe slept till noon and played in the afternoon and got in trouble in the evening. And so he consulted them. And they said, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your fathers made our yokes heavy, but you make it light on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. I'm going to make it hard, says Rehoboam. Verse 12, so Jeroboam and all the peoples came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. And then the king answered the people roughly, and he rejected the advice of the elders who stood before his father. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yokes heavy, but I will add to your yokes. My father chastised you with whips, and I'm going to chastise you with scourges. I'm going to make it difficult. Verse 15, and so the king did not listen to the peoples. Look at this, for the turn of the event was from the eternal. So God's hand was in all of this doing. Because again, God was going to rip 10 of the tribes from the descendants of Solomon and give them to someone else, that he might fulfill the words which the Lord had spoken to Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So God was fulfilling his promise that he made to King Solomon. Verse 16 of 1 Kings 12. And now when all of Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, What share have we in David? You know, all the good that David brought the children of Israel, we don't have that anymore. We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to your own house, O David. So Israel departed to their tents because they felt like they didn't have any more blessings in David. Verse 17, then Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the city of Judah. And then King Rehoboam sent, look at this, Adoram. He was in charge of the money. And so they sent him to Israel, but they stoned him with stones and he died. They probably sent him out to collect some more money and they killed him. And therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariots in haste and he fled to Jerusalem. He probably thought that he was going to be next. So he got out of there. Verse 19, so Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this very day. And now it came to pass when all of Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, that they sent for him and called him to the congregation and they made him king over Israel. And there was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. So these 10 tribes followed and made Jeroboam king. Just as God had promised. Just as God had promised. And when Rehoboam, again the son of Solomon, came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel. So brothering, we're going to fight brothering. And God says, no, it's not going to happen. That he might restore the kingdom to himself. We see in verse 22, but the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up and fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. And so God did not allow the tribe of Judah or the house of Judah to fight against the house of Israel, because this was all in the makings of God Almighty. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. Verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim. He was an Ephraimite. So he built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and he dwelt there. He also went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return back to the house of David. In other words, they might go back to Jerusalem. They might go back to Rehoboam. So what happened? But see, God had already given him these 10 tribes. And he said, he was thinking that they might go back. Verse 28, therefore the king asked advice. He asked advice, and this was the advice that was given him. In verse 28, make 2 calves of gold and say to the people, it is too much for you to go back to Jerusalem. And quoting here from Exodus 32 verses 3 and 4, he says, here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. The same thing that Moses told the children of Israel there. Here are your gods. And they gave them two golden calves. And he set up one at Bethel, and the other he put at Dan. Speaking about these golden calves, these idols. In verse 30, this thing became a sin. For the peoples went to worship. The peoples went to worship before one as far as Dan. Talking about these golden calves that were idols. And he made shrines on the high places. And he made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. You can keep your finger there. There in Leviticus 23:23-37, we find this there. In the seventh month of the year of God's calendar, on the first day of the seventh month, is a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. And so that's a holy day on the first day of the seventh month. On the tenth day of the seventh month, is a day of atonement. That's on the 10th day. On the 15th day of the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the 23rd day of the seventh month is the last great day. So we see that perhaps the seventh month is a very precious month to God Almighty. But we find here in the 32nd verse of 1 Kings 12, the 32nd verse of 1 Kings 12, Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month. The 15th day of the 8th month, Jeroboam ordained a feast, like the feasts that were in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel, the calf sacrificing to that he had made. Sacrificing to these golden calves. And at Bethel he installed the priest on the high places which he had made. And so he took it upon himself to change the law. He took it upon himself. Jeroboam perverted the religion God gave the children of Israel through Moses. Perverted the religion. What did God tell Jeroboam? There in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, verse 38, it shall be if you will heed my commandments, walk in my ways, do what is right in my sight, keep my statutes and my judgments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house. As I built for David, and will give Israel to you, a name and a character that will live forever. David will be king in the world to come. So he commanded him to heed all of his commandments, walk in his ways, do what was right, keep his statutes and his commandments. That is the path to an enduring house. Verse 33 of 1 Kings 12. And so he made offerings on the altar, which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had advised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altars. And he burnt incense. He perverted the holy days of God Almighty. Can one man destroy a nation? Can one man destroy a nation? Let's go to chapter 14. Chapter 14. As Coleman said, no, I'm not giving a sermon about Xmas. But I do hope that studying the life here of Jeroboam, we can take this and apply it to our lives. It's a fascinating story written in the Chronicles of the Bible for us to make adjustments to our own lives with. There in 1 Kings 14, verse 1, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And so Jeroboam said to his wife, please arise and disguise yourself that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam and go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah, the prophet, is there who told me that I would be king over Israel. So disguise yourself, act like you're not who you're not or who you are, and go there and ask him what's going to become of the child. Verse 3, and take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, a jar of honey, and go to him, and he will tell you what will become of the child. And so Jeroboam's wife did so, and she arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah, but Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. And now the Lord had said to Ahijah, here is the wife of Jeroboam. Again, God's hands was in all of this. Coming to ask you something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be when she comes in that she will pretend to be another woman. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps as she came through the door, he said, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? Again, full of lies and deceit. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. Bad news. Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people, and I tore the kingdom away from the house of David, and I gave it unto you, and yet you have not been as my servant David has been, who kept my commandments and who followed me with his whole heart to do only what was right in my eyes. Verse 9, but you have done more evil than all who were before you. More evil. For you have gone and made yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger. And you have cast me behind your back. He also made priests who were not of the tribe of Levi. He changed the holy days of God, made golden calves to worship, and again he put God behind his back. Verse 10, therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. And I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away refuge until it is all gone. The dogs shall eat whatever belongs to Jeroboam. and die in the city, and birds of the air shall eat whatever dies in the field. For the Lord has spoken it. They were not, his descendants were not going to be buried. And all of Israel, and therefore go to your own house when your feet hit the city, the child shall die. The child is going to die. And all of Israel shall mourn for him. Now this little child was going to be buried, it says here. For he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave. Because in him, this is what God says, in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. This little child was the only one that God saw something good. And so he's going to die and he's going to be buried. Verse 14, moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day, what? Even now. And so we, as we look back on what Jeroboam did to the to Israel, God says here he had done more evil than anyone who was before him. There in verse 15, for the Lord will strike Israel. So, and God was not finished because Israel followed Jeroboam, the whole nation. And so God will strike Israel as a reef is shaken in the waters. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers. Why? Because they followed Jeroboam and his sins. And will scatter them beyond the river because they had made their wooden images and they provoked God to anger. Can one man destroy a nation? Verse 16, and he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam. He's going to give them up. And who sinned and who made Israel to sin. There in verse 16. And so a whole nation followed after its leader. Verse 17, then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to, and here is my my granddaughter's name, Tirzah. Tirzah. When she came to the threshing holes of the house, the child died. The child died just as God had promised. Verse 18, and they buried him, and all of Israel mourned for him according to the words of the Eternal, which he spoke through the prophet Ahijah. God saw something good in this little child, and he spared him from the sufferings of the family of Jeroboam. And in verse 19, the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, indeed they are written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, and he rested with his fathers. And then Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. And so it was a sad history. And so again, it was recorded in history that 722 B.C., the Assyrians destroyed Israel and the 10 tribes were deported and they disappeared from history. They never returned back to the land of Israel. The peoples that are there today are from the tribe of Judah. And if you will recall, there in Matthew 10, verse 6, Jesus Christ sent the 12 disciples out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They never went back to this very day. I ask the question here, are we allowing God to build an enduring house in us? Are we allowing God to build an enduring house in each one of us? Are we allowing God to build an enduring house in each one of us? We see that one man can bring down a nation and turn the nation away from God. One man can do that if the whole nation gives in to that one person. Jesus Christ taught us that if we are going to build upon an enduring house, that our spiritual foundation must be built upon a solid rock. There in Matthew 7, let's take a look at that. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Again, if we're going to build a spiritual foundation, it must be built upon a solid rock. Therefore, in verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Now, Jeroboam heard the sayings of God. But look what Christ says. You have to do them. It's good to come to church every Sabbath. It's good to listen to the sermons. It's good to open up our Bibles and read it. But we have to put them into practice. If we hear the sayings of Christ and then if we do them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the rains ascended, the floods came, the wind blew, and it beat upon that house, it did not fall. For it was built upon the rock. And we find there in 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel, we're not going to turn there. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, verse 32, and verse 40, 47. We find in those scriptures that God is the rock. And also in Psalms 31, 3. And in Psalms 94:22, we find that God is the rock. The rock. Verse 26. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and don't do them, don't put them into practice, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sands. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and its fall was great. And as we studied the life of Jeroboam, we know that his fall was very great. Because he did not heed the words of God. Jeroboam sinned and he led a whole nation into sin. And so God, brethren, does expect us to apply in our lives the knowledge that he has given each one of us. Let's take a look at Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, because the children of Israel said that God wasn't fair. He wasn't fair. God did not have any pleasure in bringing down Jeroboam. But it could not be helped. Because he turned a whole nation into doing wrong. Perverted the religion that God gave the children of Israel through Moses. But we see here in verse 23 of Ezekiel 18, verse 23 of Ezekiel 18, that God does not have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. God did not want this outcome to come to Jeroboam. He wanted only good. And he told him the formula to make his house an enduring house. verse 24, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and he commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, should he live? All of the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sins which he has committed. Because of them he shall die. So God says, if you're righteous and you turn to sin, you turn away from righteousness, then God calls that becoming unfaithful. Unfaithful. Yet you say, there in verse 25, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way which is fair and your way which is not fair? Should God not punish us if we sin? If we don't repent, should God not punish us? God told Jeroboam exactly what he needed to do to be pleasing to God, just as David was pleasing to God. Yeah, of course, after David repented. Verse 26, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and he commits iniquity and he dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. So his sins were what killed him. God says that's fair. But God does give us an opportunity to repent. Verse 27, again, when a wicked man turns away from his wickedness, which he has committed, and he does what is lawful and right, that wicked person preserves his life. Because he considers and he turns away from all the transgressions which he has committed, he shall surely live and shall not die. So if we are a sinner and we repent and we come to God in Jesus Christ, then God forgets all of our past, gives us his Holy Spirit, and we allow Christ to live in our lives, and then we shall live, God says here. So we see here that God is more than fair. He's more than fair. Yet the house of Israel says the way, this is in verse 29, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is not my way which is fair, and your way which is not fair? Did not God give Jeroboam instructions on how to build upon an enduring house? And God has given us instructions through his son, Jesus Christ, how we can build upon a spiritual foundation that will endure forever. Verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Eternal. And he says here, repent and turn from all of your transgressions so that iniquity will not be our ruin. So God tells us to repent and to change. Verse 31, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. How do we do that? We have to surrender to God and allow Christ to come and live within us in order to have a new heart and in order to have a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? And then verse 32, for I have no pleasure. God has no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Therefore, he tells every one of us to turn and live. To turn and live. Christ said that the days are coming, brethren. We're in those days already, and it was brought out in the sermonette and in the opening prayer that we're living in terrible times. And so Christ said that the days that we're living in and just ahead of us are going to get worse and worse. The days and the times that we're living in are going to try us, They're going to try us. We're going to be tried and tested in a nation that seems to have already turned its back on God. Let's take a look at Luke 21. Luke 21. And 11 through 19. We're going to be tried and tested in a nation that seems to have already turned its back on God. They're in Luke 21, verse 11. And there will be great earthquakes. We've seen those already. In various places. Tsunamis. Famine. And tsunamis and earthquakes cause famine. And pestilence. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So those things are still coming. But before all of these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to, look at this, deliver you up to the churches and to prison. And you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Is this a dual prophecy that Christ is giving here? Is this going to happen in our day? And it will turn out for you as an occasion to give a testimony. Therefore, settle it not in your heart to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. So God is going to be with us, brethren, as we go through the trials and the tests that's just ahead of us. You will be betrayed even by parents, by brothers, by relatives, by friends. And they will even put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Why? Because we keep the commandments of God. But in verse 18, not a hair, and I won't have to worry about much of this, but a hair of your head will not be lost. And then he tells us here, by your patience, brethren, by our patience, keep your souls as the terrible times come in the not too distant future. And here in Romans 12, let's take a look at that. Some of this was brought out in the sermonette about letting brotherly love continue. It was interesting that he brought a sermon on that, because some of these closing words are some of the things that Paul admonishes us to do as the age draw closer to an end. There in Romans 12, verses 11 through 17, he tells you and I, brethren, to not lag in diligence. To not lag in diligence. To be fervent in spirit. To serve the Lord, to rejoice in hope, to be patient in tribulations, to be steadfast in prayer, to distribute to the needs of the saints, to be given to hospitality, to bless those who persecute you, to bless and to do not curse, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. And verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. And do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion. So we see here that being wise in our own opinion is opposite of being humbled. Now, brethren, I hope that we've learned something from this brief study of the life of Jeroboam. We learned that if we will heed all that God commands us, and if we walk in his ways and do what is right in his sight, to keep God's statutes and his commandments, brethren, that God is going to build an enduring house in each one of us. A house that's going to go into the world to come. As God's servant David did. And then also, brethren, if we will remain faithful, brethren, and continue to trust God and Jesus Christ. Remain faithful and continue to trust God and Jesus Christ. Then we will have an enduring house in the kingdom of God that's going to come in the not too distant future. As we have already seen, heeding to God's word and then putting it into practice in our lives is the patience and is the faithfulness of the saints. Is God building in each one of us, brethren, an enduring house?